My Christmas Carol. What would it be like if your ghost of Christmas present came and paid you a visit? What would he reveal about your life today? What would he reveal about your present? If we could think objectively this morning and try and pull ourselves away and look at ourselves from the outside in, what would we see about our motives? About what drives us? About where our desires lay, or what our passions are? Where our time is spent? How we treat people? What would it reveal if our ghost of Christmas present would visit us? Is my honest focus today? Let's look at that. Is my honest focus today what I can do today that will benefit God and others? Or is my honest focus today what I can do today that will benefit me? What does today look like for you? I mean, what do you have on your mind today? Maybe that'll help us to think about this a little bit. Maybe today you have on your mind the idea of buying Christmas presents, Christmas gifts for your loved ones, and you're thinking about going Christmas shopping later this week. Maybe today you're thinking about that Christmas dinner, the Christmas get-together that you're going to have with family, and what you might eat at that Christmas get-together. Now, that could be a good thought or a bad thought. I'll leave that up to you. Whether or not that's something you want to deal with on your own time, what you might have to eat or what you might get to eat. You know, maybe what's on your mind today is getting along with family, so that when it comes time for the family get-together, that you're not, like, caught in an argument that's been lasting a week or longer. Or, you know, does anyone else do that? Do you mind your P's and Q's around the holiday time so that there's no tension in the family, so there won't be any tension at the get-togethers? Okay, is that just me? Come on now. Some of you have family here, don't you? You can plead the fifth. That's all right. So maybe that's something that's on your mind this morning. You know, maybe something happened this week, and it just wasn't what you wanted. Something didn't go your way, and you're still kind of ticked off about that, still kind of disappointed, still upset that it just didn't go your way. Maybe you have on your mind right now all the things that you got to get done today. Maybe today, as you're sitting here, maybe you're at church, but you're not in church. Maybe you're at a church service, but you're not really in service. Maybe you just sung some worship songs, but you didn't worship, because your mind just wasn't there today. It just wasn't what was front and center. You know? Maybe today your mind's on money. And I mean, this time of the year, you're reflecting about that. And maybe this year wasn't very good to you. Or maybe the past couple of years weren't good to you. And it's just really coming down to this Christmas time. And you can't really buy the Christmas gifts that you'd like to buy for your children or for your grandchildren. And you're thinking about what that'll make you look like and how they'll view you as a parent or a grandparent if you can't get them what they want. And so your mind's really on the money side of things. If you just had more money, then you'd be able to maybe have a happier Christmas. You know, or you know what's in this box. This is your box. And you know what's on your mind right now. And you know what you're thinking about. So I'm just going to leave that alone, because this box contains something different for every one of us. So what are you thinking about? What bears weight in your life today? Because what bears the weight gains the influence. Isn't that true? Say that with me. What bears the weight gains the influence. Weak. Come on, help me out now. Maybe we can just do this side, a little competition here. What bears the weight gains the influence. All right, let me try this side. What bears the weight gains the influence. Isn't that true? Isn't that true what happens? And Jesus said the very same thing when he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you allow to hold value in your life, that bears weight. It will control your passions. It will control your heart. And it will influence your life from the center point outward, from your core to the outside. So what's bearing weight in your life right now, today? Is it what you can do now for God and for others? Or is it what you can do now for you? And we can simplify this by looking at the birth story of Jesus. We started our venture through this series last week as we looked at this little manger scene. And we saw how much weight it bore last week. Because last week we looked at that little manger scene, that little story, and how it weighed against our past. And how that little bitty story of Jesus coming to earth and the birth of the Christ child, the Messiah, it outweighed any baggage or luggage that any of us have in our past. All of the good things, all the bad things, all the things we had healthy responses to, all the things we had poor responses to. And not just my luggage and my baggage, but all of our luggage and our baggage were outweighed by that one little story. That's our past. What about Christmas present? What about today? What about now? What about here? What about this moment? Does this little message bear weight today? Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus, in this little statement here, he's saying, don't focus so much on tomorrow. Yes, planning and things like that, you know, there's a certain amount of that that's healthy, but you really need to focus in on today, because today is all that you can help right now. He goes a step beyond that. Besides saying, you know, don't focus on the future, but focus on now, he gives us what we should be focusing on now. He says, focus on God. And he kind of breaks that down into two subcategories, but the main category there, focus on God, his kingdom, his righteousness. That's what you should be focusing on today. Most of us are familiar with that verse and that command. We understand its simplicity. We understand what it says. We understand its logic. We even understand its benefit on our lives. Understanding it and carrying it out are two different stories. We have this and we have that and we have family concerns and we've got money concerns and we've got our jobs to go to, and somewhere in there we have to fit time in for ourselves. Some of us exercise or some of us have hobbies. So how can it really just be as simple as focusing in on this one little story? It just doesn't seem like that can happen. It seems like that is a far reach. It doesn't seem like that's within our grasp. But I want to ask this morning, how do I refocus today? How do I refocus today? I want you to go on and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. It's the third book in your New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 2, and then we're going to continue on with the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We looked in chapter 1, 2, and 3 last week. This week, we're just going to be looking in chapter 2. And this is a story of the angels and as they appeared to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, go down to verse 8 with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, you guys catch that? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, when these angels went to visit the shepherds, they were doing their day-to-day routine. They were doing their day-to-day thing. They were shepherds. They were herding sheep. Herding. My sister, when she was young, she used to think that shepherders hurt sheep, and that was their job. Because they were sheep herders. They're sheep herders, not hurt. Herd. But that's what they were doing. They were herding sheep. They were watching over sheep. That was their job. They weren't out there with little laptops working on their little individual CPA business on their Excel spreadsheets. They were shepherds. They were watching their sheep. And I'm doing my job right now. I'm explaining to you that the shepherds were watching sheep. It's part of my job is to explain to you what the Bible says. Now, some of you are thinking, man, why is he getting so excited about the shepherds and their job? Well, because there's common ground here between me and the shepherds and between everyone in this room and the shepherds. We all have our job we do. We all have a job we go to. We all have a daily routine that we find ourselves in. Something where, and most of our day is fairly predictable in the lives that we live. We do this. We wake up. We go here. We drive there. We do that. We get this done. Then we have lunch. Then we get this done. Then we go to this. Then we come home. Then we have dinner. And then we go to bed. And then it repeats itself. So they were doing their day-to-day routine. Business as usual as a shepherd. And they're interrupted by these angels. These angels appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what God's messengers were there to do, were they were there to share with them a message. And their message was revealing to them, interrupting their day-to-day routine, revealing to them that God himself had revealed himself to mankind in the form of a little baby laying in a manger. A Savior born to all people. And as we look at this event, I don't believe that God has stopped interrupting lives to reveal himself to us. I don't think it just happened that one day and he interrupted a few shepherds and that was it. I think to this day, every one of us on our daily routine, we are being interrupted by God. And just as he interrupted the shepherds that evening and revealed himself to them, he still to this day reveals himself to us. And I believe on a daily basis. The problem is we don't pay attention to it when it happens. We're so consumed with the stuff in our life that we miss the times when God, the God of all that exists, reveals himself to us. And interrupts our day. And this is a key to focusing on God first in our lives and refocusing that. And it's just very simple. And that is that you need to look and you need to listen for the times when God reveals himself to you. Look and listen for ways that God is revealing himself to me today. Not yesterday. Not in the future, but today. Look at the message that the shepherds received. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Today. It wasn't a message about the past or a prophecy about the future. It was here and now. It was today. And I am convinced that God reveals himself to each and every one of us on a daily basis, but we don't see it because we just don't recognize the interruptions. So let me encourage you, because I don't want you to miss out on those interruptions. Those interruptions will be the best part of your day once you start seeing them. So I encourage you, journal these out. Look and listen. Watch for when God interrupts your day. Write them down. Maybe you're old school and you've got a little pad and you carry it around with you, but a lot of you have a computer that you still call a cell phone that you carry around in your pocket. They're no longer cell phones. They're little computers that you actually use as a cell phone. And you keep your events on, you keep your kids' doctor's appointments on there, your swimming events and your work-related events and your personal events and when you got to go to bed and when you got alarms and when to wake up. You keep all this on that little device, and yet you don't have the room in your day to record what God has done and how God has revealed himself to you. I'm calling you out on it. I think that's baloney. Pardon my language. So I want to encourage you. Find a way to record what you see from God on a daily basis, because he's revealing himself to you, and we miss it because we're so darn busy. We got so much stuff. Look for them and listen to them when God interrupts you. After God interrupts the shepherds that night, he reveals himself to them. And then here's the important second piece of this. If you want to read with me in verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, dude, that was cool. And then they went back to their business of watching the sheep. No, it's not what it says. Faulty version here. Let me read what's on the screen. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, this thing that has interrupted our evening, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Let's go, let's see. They hurried off. Do you notice those action words? They responded with action. They did something about God's interruption of their night. Once again, it wasn't yesterday. If they were going to respond yesterday to something that God revealed them today, they would have needed a time machine. Let's humor that for a moment. God comes to them and reveals himself to them today, and they say, oh, I think we're going to do something about this yesterday. Let's climb in our time machine. And they show up to what? An empty manger. Because Mary's still traveling and she's still pregnant with Jesus yesterday. Today matters. Do respond to God's revelation to you today, not tomorrow. Look at the shepherds. They didn't go a week later or a couple days later. They might have missed them. No, they went that night. It was then. It was here and now. It was their Christmas present. How many times do we actually catch it when God talks to us, when God reveals himself to us? Those interruptions in our day. I think we actually see very few of those. I think God does a lot of them. But we actually only acknowledge a few of those. How many of those that we acknowledge, even that small amount, how many of those do we even act on? How many of those do we even do anything about? Many of us, we don't act on the interruption. And I believe that's the second piece to changing this focus. And it's a very simple word, and it's do. Just simply do. Do what God wants me to do for him today. Today. Not what you did yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. And a lot of people like to play this card. I taught at VBS last year, so today I don't need to teach. I paid my dues. I went to growth groups last week, so today I don't need to go to growth groups. I paid my dues. That's wrong. And you're really missing out on the joy of service that God is calling you into. The things that God has in store for you that he wants you to experience. Simply because you feel like you've already done enough. Some of us, now, I mean, I don't want to look down on anybody, you know, by calling you a procrastinator. I wouldn't know anything about that. But some of us, we live in the future, and we always talk about the future. And instead of doing things today, we think, why do it today? I can do it tomorrow. But then what happens is tomorrow turns into tomorrow again when today turns into tomorrow. You get me? Tomorrow turns into tomorrow when today turns into tomorrow. And we just keep passing it off. And we live with the motto, why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? And this philosophy, it doesn't fly at home. It causes problems in the house, doesn't it? Wives, can I get an amen? All right. Sorry, guys, I had to pick on you. This doesn't fly at work. So why do we feel like this is acceptable behavior when we're dealing with the God of the universe, who has taken his time and energy and power to reveal himself to us? And we say, you know, I hear you, God, but I'm going to respond tomorrow. I'm kind of busy today. I've got other things on my mind. Try this. If you want to really try and refocus and live a God-centered life, then simplify. Because I believe a lot of us, we're overcomplicated. We're overburdened. We're burnt out. Because we've overloaded our circuits. So let me offer you some encouragement. And try this and just simplify. Just simplify this season. And do what God wants you to do today, based off of what he has revealed to you today. Don't go for a whole big history. Don't look at tomorrow. Just look at today. What has God revealed to me today? What does he want me to do today? And do it. And see what happens. The third piece of this model is the last part of the story with our shepherds. In verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, the shepherds didn't just look and listen and do, but they talked about it. They shared about what God had revealed. They shared about what God had told them. They shared about what God had shown them. They shared about what God had done and what they did and what they did because of what God had done, and then what they got to see more. Mimicking this is just very, very simple. Now, some of you guys are awful intimidated by this, but it's a very simple word. Talk. Talk. Talk about God's activity in your life. Still on there. We're safe. What has God done for you today? What has he shown you today? What has he taught you in his word today? What have you been led to do today? What has happened when you did what God told you to do today? These and many other questions like this are ways of simplifying and looking at what has happened and looking at God's activity in your life, and simply answer these questions and talk about it. Talk about God's activity in my life today. And when you're doing that, you're not shoving scripture down someone's throat. You're not that Bible-thumping, church-going Christian. What you are is you're just real and you're authentic. I mean, isn't that what you do on a daily basis anyway? I mean, when this is your focus, when this is what bears the weight in your life, because what bears the weight gains the influence, when this is what bears the weight, isn't this what you're talking to about around people, around your family members, around people at work, around people that are your friends? Oh, well, I want to get my kid for Christmas. Or we even do that to kids. What are you getting for Christmas? We put the weight on this side. Or we talk about our troubles. Or we talk about how this is going to be a rough Christmas because this and this has happened. Or this has happened. Or I'm really bummed out that this didn't happen this past week because I was really looking for this to come forward or come through for me. And it's me, 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 me. That's what we talk about anyway, because that's what's on our heart and that's what's on our mind. But when we let the focus shift, and we look and we listen at God's revelation to us, and we do it and we talk about it. Well, actually, when we do it, then talking about it, I'll fix listen here real quick. When we talk about it, it's just simply a natural thing that happens because this is who we are. That's where our makeup is. That's what's important to us. That's what bears the weight in our life. That's what has gained the influence. Because all you're doing is you're simply talking about what God has done in your life. You're not a freak. You're not weird. What it is it's real and it's authentic. And when others see a real person talking about real events, about a real God, then maybe they would consider the reality of what we believe. But you can't put this off. Church, this has to be your Christmas present. This has to be today. One little question. How do you fill a bar? What? How do you fill a bar? Yes, a bar. The place where you drink and you carouse and darts and, you know, hold on yards. How do you fill a bar? with a sign that says free beer tomorrow? No. You'd fill a bar with a sign that says free beer today. Don't put this off. Today is your day. Now is your time. This is your Christmas present. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?